Well, good morning. Now, another way to respond to a good morning would be, yes, it is. Why? Why is this such a good morning? Let's just count some of the things that you and I have enjoyed over this past few days. Thanksgiving with our family and friends. Another reason to thank God for a good morning. Wow. Snow yesterday morning. And 55 degrees today. Another reason to say, it is a good morning. Certainly. Jesus is still Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. Good morning. Yes. Celebrating a 90th birthday and beyond 90. Wow. It truly is a good morning. I realize the world is crazy right now. You and I have difficulty watching even the news, local and national and world news, all the craziness. But friends, don't give up the hope. Don't give up the faith. We're continuing today in our faith series. And someone would say, well, Pastor Dallas, why are we spending so much time on faith and this whole thing of heroes of the faith and the Faith Hall of Fame? Well, friends, by faith, you and I are saved. If you're here today and you're heaven bound, I promise you, without you even knowing it, you practice Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Through faith. Now, faith doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. The faith doesn't save you. But the grace of God acted through your faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ allows us the privilege to call ourselves as Christians. So we're spending our time here in this faith series leading up to Christmas. Christmas. You and I weren't there when Jesus Christ was born. Can I get amen? We weren't there. But by faith and the holy record of God gave us, his love letter to us, and the Jewish historians and those who were there, the eyewitnesses and God's holy book, by faith we knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on flesh, John 1:14, was born in a manger as the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and yet some 33 years later made himself available as the ultimate, final sacrifice. By faith, we know those things. Well, what else about faith? The Bible says you shall walk by faith. So every single day, and you and I get the privilege of walking by faith. Well, I can't really see faith, Pastor Dallas. Of course you can't. Because the Bible tells us that faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see faith, but it's our trust in God, the Spirit God, manifested through the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and of course secured in us as Holy Spirit. So we get to walk with the Holy Spirit every day by faith. We know through the Holy Word of God, the assurance of God, that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. So by faith, we trust in Him, Savior. By faith, we walk with Him every day. By faith, we live in accordance with God's Word. But I think the crowning verse, really, that makes all this come to life is this. I personally want to please God. How about you? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm just asking. Do you really desire to please God? Well, I'm here today, aren't I? A lot of people attend church and they don't please God. They have an agenda. They have a reason to be there. They've been shamed into being there. Or they're holding a position or a role. It was up to them, they wouldn't even be in church today. They don't really concern themselves about pleasing God. But the Bible says clearly, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that. So when people say, well, I just want to worship God, but all this faith stuff, if I can't touch it, if I can't taste it, if I can't feel it, I just don't believe it. Well, dear friends, you may be lost. Because the faith of God, forsaking all, I trust Him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust God. By faith, we walk, we act, we trust, we love. Knowing that you and I are just passing through this old world. By faith, we get to talk to the God, the supreme God. Not the unknown God, but the supreme God, God the Father, right now in a time of communion with Him through faith in a prayer. Vicky singing in French, and English, perhaps another language we didn't even know. By faith, God can hear all the prayers of the saints, of the believers, of all the languages and all the nations around the world. By faith, God somehow listens and responds. All the different nations of people, not the races of people, because you and I have learned over and over and over again, there's not but one race. And what is that race, friends? The human race. So regardless of your ethnic background, the color of your skin, male or female, otherwise, there's not but one race. And Jesus Christ came and died for that race. By faith, you can know Jesus in a very personal and profound way. That's why we're studying in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the patriarchs, the monarchs, the heroes of the faith who went through the struggles of life just like us. Boy, how would you like to have been Abraham or Isaac or Moses? I'm sure they just walked a perfect life with God. No, they didn't. How many of you ever read David Jeremiah's book, Moses Was a Basket Case? Anybody ever read that book? Remember Moses put in a basket, sent down the river? We'll be talking about that here in weeks to come. All I'm saying to you and I today is, if we really want to please God, we have to walk, live, act by our faith. It's not hope so, cross your heart, hope to die. No. It's the assurance, the confidence we have in this, God's love letter. Let's pray about that right now, shall we? Father, your holy word tells us that this faith comes with full assurance that we, as Christians, as Christians, followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can talk to you in this mode of prayer. And by faith, we know you will listen, you will respond. And dear God, right now we just want to glorify you without asking for anything. We just want to thank you, God, for who you are, what you've already done, what you're going to do in the future, but right now for what you're doing, right now in our individual lives, thank you for the beauty of this season. Lord, as all the leaves fall off the trees and we get to see the beautiful mountains all about us here, in this wonderful state of West Virginia, we get to see the glory of the rocks and the dirt beneath that canopy of leaves. Oh, how many of us here enjoy seeing your handiwork, your creative hand all about us in a raw form. Wow, thank you for that. For painting this beautiful picture in color so we can enjoy it right now. That blue sky, the white fluffy clouds. Thank you, dear God, we have taste buds and we have the ability to smell all that Thanksgiving turkey and the pies cooling there in the windowsill and the ham, the saltiness. We're still drinking a lot of water after eating too much ham perhaps over this weekend. God, thank you for the gift of life and the ability, just the faith we have in walking with you, knowing all this just didn't come about, that you played a major part in it. God, we also thank you for the heroes of the faith. They weren't perfect. We certainly aren't either. But some you chronicled, you put here in a concise Reader's Digest type of console category. Lord, just this beautiful book of Hebrews that we can go and enjoy just studying about these fine folks and how they walked by faith because they wanted to please you. We want to please you. So bless now the teaching and preaching of your holy word, and by faith we will accept it, and by faith we will act upon it. We love you, Lord Jesus, and pray this in your holy name. And all of God's children said, amen and amen. If you don't have your Bibles open yet, halfway through the New Testament, I'm going to invite you to do so to the book of Hebrews. We will continue. Hebrews chapter number 11. By the way, all the things that I quoted there earlier, the Bible verses you'll find in Hebrews 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, etc., etc., etc. But today I want to call attention to the insert inside of your Bible, better inside of your bulletin, as well as your Bible, the introduction to today's message. Last week, Last Sunday we learned how the faith of a parent could be lived out through the life of a child. How the faith of a parent is passed down to our children. Now some of the children will act on this faith and some will not. But it is our best interest. It is our goal in life. Once we're saved, our underlining goal is to make sure we pass down our faith to our children, and preferably to our children's children's children. Now, that was last Sunday, but today we're going to expound on the generational faith in Hebrews chapter 11. The generational faith in Hebrews 11, and you might be surprised with the application that you will see here as we finish today's study. Read along with me in the introduction section inside of your bulletin that says this. Last Sunday, we considered the importance of parental faith and how it's passed down should be to our children. But today, we will see the manifestation of a father's faith, specifically Abraham. Father Abraham through the next three generations of Abraham. Let's see how it panned out. And I want you to pay close attention to the word blessed. Blessed. Okay? So I've already had the text printed there for you in this Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews chapter 11, verses number 20 through 22. And the background is found throughout Genesis, beginning in Genesis 27, all the way to the close of Genesis in chapter number 50. Well, let's just consider now Hebrews 11, verse number 20 through 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So this is Abraham's son, Isaac, passing on this generational faith to his own sons. He blessed them concerning the things to come. Now by faith, Jacob, one of the boys, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. Now Joseph was Jacob's son, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. How many of you know that Jacob was touched by God and he limped from that day forward? Historians tell us he walked with a staff, with a cane. And here in his dying breath, he got right with God. Jacob by no means was a model Christian. By no means. And yet he still made it to the Faith Hall of Fame. That should give me and you hope. Look at your neighbor right now and say, you ain't perfect. Go ahead and do it. You ain't perfect. I know that's not good English, but you ain't perfect. But then, let your neighbor say, and neither are you. Huh? And neither are you. None of us here are perfect. We're all sinners. We all need God. Well, so we're finding here in verse 20, Abraham passed his faith down to Isaac. We'll take a peek into that again from last week. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons. By faith, Jacob now, one of the boys, in verse 21, when he was dying, he called his sons, his grandchildren in. That's who it was. He called both the sons of Joseph, his son. He called his grandsons in. And he blessed them and he worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. He could have been on his bedside. He could have been leaning on the cane. We don't really know. Just picture in your mind the beauty of this moment. That Jacob just said, boys, I'm dying. I want to pass this on to you. Now, faith, by faith, Joseph, remember his son? When he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He went back and said, I want us to remember where we came from, and whence we came. It's good to go back to your very foundation, the beginning of your faith. He said, I don't want to die in this foreign land. You know, he was made prime minister over Egypt. He said, I don't want to die here in this foreign land. I want you to take me back to West Virginia. Now I got your attention. Many of my family members have done that. They died in other states, and they said, we want to go back home. We want to go back to our homeland from whence we came, where we were born. If you go on Tyler Mountain, or you go to St. Albans, you go down to Boone County, that's where our family cemeteries are. Perhaps you have your own location right here in West Virginia as well. There's something special about Joseph saying, look in verse 22, he gave the commandments concerning his bones. You'll find all these things given record in the Holy Word of God in the first book of Genesis. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Esau. By faith, Joseph. You see how the faith continues? Hence, the title for today's message. This generational faith, part number two, was being passed down from Father Abraham now down to his children's children's children. Three generations. How did it work out? Let's consider the first one, Isaac. Isaac. Remember Isaac last week? I'm just looking here at my own notes from last week. If you were here last week, we saw how Abraham took Isaac up on the altar of God. There on a mountain. And by faith, he trusted God to provide the sacrifice. And we saw Abraham's faith being lived out through Isaac's, watch this, Isaac's obedience. Isaac could have said, no, Dad, I'm not going to go with you up on the mountain. But he didn't do that. He loved his father so much, and his father's God, his personal God so much, he said, I'll be obedient, even unto death, knowing that God would raise me again. But he knew God was going to provide the sacrifice. So we're just living out the faith of Isaac through the life of Abraham. You see how this works and being passed down, like passing a baton down. Abraham's faith was also seen through Isaac's trust. Dad, I trust you. I see the knife. I see the wood. I see the altar, the fire. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting you. This would be a good lesson for the students, would it not? You follow me while I follow God. Let me say it again, boys and girls. All the students here, you may think mom and dad are antiquated. You may think they're out of touch. Hey, your mom and dad doesn't even know how to use a smartphone. But I can tell you this, your mom and dad walks with God. You need to follow them as they follow God. Bottom line, follow mom and dad as they follow God. That will never, ever, ever trust them. That's what Isaac did last week. We're just looking at the life here of Isaac. We also saw how Abraham's faith was seen through Isaac's submission. He said, Dad, I don't fully understand all this, but I'm going to participate. I'm going to follow you again, trusting God, your God, my God. And of course, his faith is manifested in his own faith. And then they rejoiced together. They rejoiced. You're talking about a Thanksgiving feast? Can you imagine when he went back home and Sarah said, how to go up on the mountain? Mom, you're never going to believe this. Dad took the servants. They stayed at the bottom of the hill. We went up on the mountain. There was no sacrifice there. I'm pretty smart. I've been paying attention. I knew that Jehovah Jireh, God, would provide, but I was really starting to wonder about this. So I asked Dad about it. Dad, where's the sacrifice? He said, don't worry about it, son. By faith, trust me on this. And then we heard and saw it come to life. There was a ram with his horns caught in the thicket. The rejoicing, the Thanksgiving feast they must have had at that time. Did anybody take advantage of the table talk? The challenge that I posed to you last week, including myself? I said there's a common thread, a commonality among us as Christians. All around the world, we're going to sit around a table sometime, and commune with others while giving thanks to God. Talking to my son-in-law and my daughter yesterday, or Thanksgiving better, they called us, and of course, you know I'm being recorded, and I love our radio listening audience. I thank you for your faithfulness, those listening by radio. But I asked them, I said, there where you're serving, do they celebrate Thanksgiving? The American style of Thanksgiving, because they do other things like Halloween and Christmas and the other American holidays. Do they celebrate Thanksgiving? I said, no, Dad, they don't. But we're getting together with our team and some others there, and we're going to have our first Thanksgiving feast. I can only imagine what they put down before them. It could have been just olives and raisins and dates and nuts and cumin, and who knows what they're going to have there. They don't have access to a traditional bird and all those things. But they're still going to have that table time. Did anybody take advantage? Don't raise your hand, but I'm just asking you again. Did anybody take advantage of that moment and talk to a niece, a nephew, a cousin, a mother, a father, a wayward child, or just your own family members? You know what the death toll has risen to now in the California fire? The last report I saw this morning was 86. The death toll, 86, in just the California fires alone. Apart from the flooding and the tropical storms and the hurricanes in Florida and all up the East Coast, let's just concentrate on California. 86 people. and as some 500 still missing. Now, maybe they haven't checked in with the local authorities, but they really don't know. 86 people have gone on record. They have found bodies of 86 people. My first question when I heard that wasn't 86 plus 500. I wonder where they spent, or better, didn't spend Thanksgiving. I didn't feel sorry for them because they didn't have a last Thanksgiving meal with their family. I didn't feel sorry for them because they didn't have table time. The first thing that came to my mind was, out of the 86 we know that are dead, how many were saved? You ever think about that? It's easy to get emotional and say, oh, I wish they could have celebrated Thanksgiving like I did. I wonder how many were Christians. Friends, here's a whole cold, hard facts of life and life beyond this life. Those without Jesus Christ die and go to hell. Does that bother anybody? But I'm sure God will understand. I've heard people argue this. If a person dies at no fault of their own, in an automobile accident, head-on collision, my wife's parents, both of them, perished head-on collision by someone impaired, had no business being on the road. God doesn't say, Lindsay, Nellie, you get to come to heaven. You get to go to heaven because you died unexpectedly. It wasn't fair. No, God said, you get into my kingdom because you both trusted my Son as Lord and Savior. You see, the world puts a twist on it. If someone gets murdered, perhaps you saw the MSN headlines. A man was just delivering food to an elderly person, was shot 8 times and died. He didn't have a happy Thanksgiving. Well, I bet he gets to go to heaven. Only those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ get to go to heaven. That's why you and I must live like missionaries. That's why we must have table time and table talk with these people. 86 people, I like to say all of them were saved. All of them went to heaven. It's very likely most were not. Not because they lived in California, because America as a whole, 80-some percent don't even claim to be Christians anymore. Now, that weight falls on you and I. Are you still living like a missionary? I do that every day to remind myself. Because I get so tied up in the business of my day, my personal interest in the ministry, I forget just to witness to people. Live like a missionary. It's embossed right there, a reminder to me. Acts 1:8, the last thing Jesus Christ told me, just like here with Isaac, is one thing for your father to entrust faith in God in you, to teach you, to disciple you, to dedicate you to the Lord. It's one thing, but now it's your responsibility, Isaac, to give it to someone else. So look at your Bible again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 20. Isaac, blessed. He carried his faith on down to his own children. And we'll be considering Jacob and Esau in just a moment, but he's acting this out. Did you thank God for your family, for your friends, for more than just a turkey? I'm just still building on his Thanksgiving theme. Every day we ought to be Christians. I saw that on a church marquee. More than just one time a year, we ought to thank God every day. Of course we should. Every single day. But we had a little informal ceremony here last Sunday evening before we departed to all of our family and friends and all the different locations and left the state. And whenever we went for Thanksgiving, we praise God for our salvation, of course. We thank God for our family. Yes, of course. We thank God for our food, for the prosperity of America, for money in the bank, for good doctors and health and all those kind of things. But what about the little things? What about the little things? No one went there, including myself. But I love thanking God for the little things. Have you had a new friend move into the neighborhood? Have you? Has anybody become a friend to you this year that you didn't have the previous year? Is there someone new in your Sunday school class that now is being regular, being attentive, being a vital part of your Sunday school class? Do you thank God for that? You thank God for that unexpected love note you received in the mail or perhaps a rebate from an insurance company, you know, because you've got a driving record. I'm just talking about the little things. Perhaps a song. Perhaps a song just came on the radio, and you say, what a perfect time to hear that song. While I was out traveling about over the weekend, I love music, all genres of music, from light classical all the way through traditional hymns, contemporary, whatever it may be. But I prefer Christian music. That's my preference. But I went through eight stations, including eight stations, scanning on my radio. There in my Jeep, including Christian stations, just trying to find some Christian music so I could worship God. Don't anybody think less of me, but if I hear Peggy Lee sing Rocking Around the Christmas Tree one more time, I think I'm going to jump off a bridge. Someone said, play the record, play the record, play the record. On Christian radio stations. For the next 5, nay 6 weeks, we'll be listening to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. God help us. Now, if you love Christmas music, all the crooners, whatever happened to the Bing Crosbys, the Johnny Mathis, what about all the crooners? I'm just saying, if God has blessed you with a family, a home, all wonderful. But what about the little things that you want to bless your children with? Shh, listen, listen. Remember that movie we saw? I Can Only Imagine a Summer. This is a song. Listen to this song. Listen to the words of this song. I'm just talking about taking advantage of the moment. I can see this in the life of Isaac. But Isaac was not a perfect person. Oh, the Bible says in Genesis, Isaac was a man of prayer. How would you like me known as a man or a woman of prayer? Being recorded in the Holy Word of God, Genesis chapter 26. How about being included in the Hebrews Hall of Faith? For being a man of faith, Isaac. But Isaac was chosen of God to be blessed, to carry this generational faith down to his children's children's children. But Isaac wasn't perfect. How do you know Isaac wasn't perfect? You take time to read our context as well as the pretext before this, the history in Genesis, you will find out that Isaac was blessed with a woman. What was her name? Rebekah. Rebekah. And hence we find their children down here in verse number 20. Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And Abraham said, son, before I die, I want to bless you with God's chosen for you. And so he sends out a servant to go there to do the kinship, the parental involvement, which I believe parents ought to be involved in the choosing of a mate. Are you really going to roll the dice? Don't you want mom and dad praying over this? Don't you want mom and dad giving you godly counsel? Really? Of course you do. And Rebecca, everyone say Rebecca. Rebecca, I love that name, was chosen. And Rebecca came back. As God had orchestrated this, she came back. She covered her face and the upper part of her body with a veil. Can you prove that in the Bible? You most certainly can. By the way, even Miss Manners agrees with this. You want some Bible theology here? It's the veil of a woman on her wedding day that represents her virginity, her modesty. It's not the white-colored dress. It's the veil. That's why women in the Far East still wear the veil today. Her husband, till he unwrapped the veil in his mother's tent and took her to be his wife, then and only then did he see the beauty of Rebecca. But here's the problem. Even Isaac and Rebecca, they had two boys, and they did something that every parent in here knows, as well as those listening by radio, were never, ever, ever supposed to do. They showed favoritism. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 25, verse 28, that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. Parents, that's a recipe for disaster. Which leads us up to the next person, Jacob. We already consider the life of Isaac, this generational faith being passed down. He wasn't perfect, and certainly Jacob wasn't perfect. Listen. Jacob was known as a deceiver. You find this in verse 20 and 21. Jacob, until his dying day, really, from the time he wrestled with his brother Esau in his mother's womb, he was a heel snatcher. His very name alone means a struggler, the deceiver. This guy, from the time he was born, he struggled with others in life. His own family, his closest of friends. He stole his brother's birthright over a bowl of beans. Now, I love beans, but my goodness. And then he lies to the old man. And mom played a part in this. You think you have a dysfunctional family? How about this family? This is Isaac and Rebecca, the chosen of God. And Rebecca dressed him up to be his brother on his dad's dying deathbed. He said, I want you to bless me. And he came and he felt his arms. He said, you feel like my son, the other son? You feel like Esau? But you're not. And he said, well, I am. He lied. By the way, I don't know if you ever traced the steps of Abraham. Abraham lied about his wife. You ever see this? Abraham lied about his wife, said, she's my sister. And some people say, well, in the genealogy here, it's kind of a half-sister, so it's kind of a half-truth. You can paint it any way you want to. He didn't tell the truth, whether the white lie or not. Then his son, Isaac, mimicked dad. He lied about his wife. And then come down here, his son lied. It just keeps passing on and on and on. So you think just because in the Hebrews Hall of Fame, this Hebrews Hall of Faith, these people lived a perfect life? They did not. And Jacob, being the chief among sinners, he struggled. He struggled in life with his family, his friends. He lied. He connived. And yet, on his deathbed, he got right with his grandsons. And I believe he got right with God. Now, remember, he had 12 sons. Benjamin being the youngest. Joseph, which is the last one we'll be considering here quickly, being the best, really, chosen of God. But he showed favoritism, just like his mom and dad showed favoritism. But his life still was not perfect, and yet he walked by faith with a forgiving God. If you're here today and your life is messed up, don't give up. Don't give up. Let God be God. And all of our errors and all of our faults, God still loves us as we are. Let me illustrate this way. When you considered Jacob and his messed up life, why didn't God just take him out? Well, here we go. One of the things I enjoy doing when I go to my mother's house is taking my toolbox. From the time I could walk, my dad had a wrench in my hand. And not being boastful, I'm one of those jack of all trades and master of none. There's nothing I really can't do. And one of the things I really enjoy doing is going to my mother's house saying, what do I need to do to fix the house? You have something on the automobile, something on the car? You know, you want to rotate the tires, run a little bit hot, change the thermostat? What do you want me to do? Inside the garage, inside the house, you may clean gutters, you may put down carpet. What do you want? There's nothing I can't do. My mother surprised me this Thanksgiving Eve. Donna and I showed up. Donna would help cook in the kitchen. Mom said, you bring your toolbox? Mom, you know I did. I have two new sinks and new faucets I want to replace in the common hallway bathroom there. Not one, men, but two. How many of you men love doing plumbing? Raise your hand, and I will pray for you. Now, all the family's going to be there within hours, and I have two sinks and two faucets and all the hardware, and the house was built in 1972. So I went and took the old ones out. Demolition's pretty easy. They didn't want a new counter there in the vanity. Took it all out. The lines broke in my hands. I was able to stop the water and all that. I got the new ones put in. Pretty proud of myself. Hours later, you know, people will be coming there soon, and everything's working fine. And I'm so proud of myself, I went back and I said, boy, Hayes Smith, my father, has to be looking down from heaven saying, well done, my son. Until my wife, goes over to the left sink and went to wash her hands, and she said, Dallas, you might find this funny. The hot water has cold coming out of the tap. And the cold water, say with me, had hot water coming out of the tap. It was backwards. Listen, I have OCD, but I know how to do things decently in order. So I crawled underneath the sink. The lines were perfect. And I said this, until I looked, the house in 1972 was plumbed wrong. That's the same sinks that came in the house in 1972. Now, the one right next to it was plumbed correctly. You could hold into the line. They had plumbed it backwards. Now, I had a choice. Thanksgiving Eve, I could call a plumber. How many of you think a plumber would answer on Thanksgiving Eve? Why would I waste the time? I could cuss and throw up dust and rip the wall out and try to switch the lines. I'm talking about the primary water lines coming in from the street. Or I could simply go underneath there, and what did I do, men, as well as ladies? Susan's, you're a wonderful plumber. What did I do? I unscrewed the two lines and switched them and put them back down. 2 minutes later, guess what? Shazam, the hot water's on the left, the cold water's on the right, just like the one next to it. My mother said, oh, you're so good. But I thought about this. When you run into a problem, the plumbing, or more pointedly, struggles in life, just like Jacob and his boys fighting, selling the brother into slavery, lied to the old man, said he was dead, all of these kind of things. You and I have a choice. We can blow it up, or we can make the best of it and just switch some lines. Can I get amen? The world is messed up. And you and I who walk by faith, we don't have to respond. Not everything's a tragedy. Keep it in perspective. I could have left the water like it was. My mother would have taken a Sharpie and written H and C backwards to remind herself. But I said, I can do better than that. You improvise. Those of you in the military, they used to say you had to be flexible. But something, the flexibility will eventually break. So that years ago, they changed the word from being flexible to fluid. Fluid. The fluidity of the military. Go with the flow. That's what I see happening down here. Abraham, who wasn't perfect. Isaac, who wasn't perfect. Esau, Jacob, wasn't perfect. Now we come down to the perfect one. Let me finish up here on a positive note. Joseph. When he was dying, he made mention of the departing to the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. You see that in verse 22? Joseph, folks, the last 13 chapters of the book of Genesis, out of 50 chapters in Genesis, the last 13 chapters refer to the life of Joseph. In my estimation, and without exception, and certainly much more than Isaac, Joseph is the clearest picture, i.e. the type, the shadow of Jesus Christ in the entire Bible. The Bible doesn't credit him for that. If you like studying the Bible, if you want to see one person who modeled his life after Christ through faith in obedience to God, it would be Joseph. Let me just read off some things I've just kind of chronicled here. His father loved him exceptionally. God the Father loved Jesus. Jacob loved Joseph. He was jealous by others, including his own family. That describes Joseph and Jesus. He was sold for a few mere coins. Remember Joseph being sold into slavery? Left for dead? So was Jesus by Judas. He was wrongfully accused by the brethren, lied about. Is a picture of Jesus, a picture of Joseph. He was left for dead when his brothers left him, Reuben, the eldest. Reuben, you know better. You know, you could have stopped them. In this day, the eldest son, carried authority. He could have stopped his siblings. Said, no, listen, I know that little spoiled brat, blah, 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 blah. This isn't right. We can't throw him to this cistern. We can't leave him for dead and go back and lie to the old man. Guys, this isn't right. Just like Jesus Christ. When the world turned on him, same way. They left Jesus for dead, they left Joseph for dead. But Joseph shows up again years later, now as a prime minister there in Egypt. Just like Jesus, 3 days after the grave, what happened, class? He rose again. And hundreds, 500 at one time saw him. You see the similarities here? And most importantly of all these things, no one really camps out on this. When you look at the type of Christ, the type through the life of Joseph, really the perfect model, much more than Isaac, much certainly much more than Abraham, Jacob and Esau. Joseph, hands down, a picture of Jesus Christ. Joseph forgave his brothers. They were so afraid when Jacob, the father, died. Now Joseph is going to say, hey, the old man's dead. Your day of reckoning has come. Vengeance is mine. He wept because his brothers thought he was going to bring ill will to them. What about you? What about me? Does it please us when evil befalls someone we're angry at? Isn't that sad? We hear someone that you don't like loses their job. They go through a divorce. Does that make you happy? Shame. Shame. Joseph forgave his family at the end of his life. Jesus Christ forgave those who wronged him, even to the cross of Calvary. Remember that? Father, forgive them. Remember him saying that? This same love of Christ, friends, is available today. And this dysfunctional family, what do I get from this? This generational faith, I told you, it might surprise you. Albright painted a clear picture that this family, Abraham, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, it was not a perfect family. Now, raise your hand if you have a perfect family. Raise your hand. There's no drugs, there's no alcohol, there's no backbiting, there's no gossip, there's no problem. Your family is just, you have a Norman Rockwell family. You know, grandpa in the sweater vest, he's carving a turkey. Did anybody really experience that over Thanksgiving? Did anybody really experience that? You just finished the night by saying, thank God nobody fought. Thank God everybody's on their best behavior. That's a preacher's family and your family. You know, some people say things like this. Well, that's just the way I am. It's like it gives them a license to be angry and vile. If you're a Christian, that's the way you used to be. But when you become a Christian, you no longer have a right to be a jerk. I said in the pulpit, you thought I cussed. No, I'm just calling them as I see them. Before we were saved, we act like the world. But after we become a believer in Jesus Christ through faith and obedience, we want to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We need to be different. You don't have a right to wear a badge of honor or a sheriff's badge here, new sheriff in town, to be angry. Of course not. Joseph, as well as Jesus, forgave his family. And one big happy ending. He said, by the way, I'm going to die. Just take me back home. Take me back home. Friends, if you didn't get a chance to have table time with your family, I'm going to invite you to do so again. If you didn't have time, if you didn't manufacture time in for God the last 3 or 4 days, I would have to ask you why. You know how busy I was? We're all busy. Get up 30 minutes early. Go to bed 30 minutes late. Hey, go to the bathroom and hide and be thankful to God for the hot and cold water. Spend time with God and thank Him for the big things, yes. But what about the little things? The hot and cold water, the shoes on our feet, a roof that doesn't leak, food on the table, and a forgiving heart. Is that asking too much? To have a forgiving, loving heart like Christians should? Why? Because 86 people in California met God in a very profound way. I wonder if their neighbors witnessed to them. You have any neighbors you haven't witnessed to? 500 still missing. What if that was your family? I'm just asking. We're not giving up on this thing living like missionaries because Jesus Christ didn't. He said, the last thing I'm going to tell you before I go to be with the Father, now you need to go and tell others. Because I'm coming back soon. And by faith, you can take that to the bank. You may be ready. What about those around you? Let's pray. Dear God, there's hope for us. If you could use the likes of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau, even Joseph, Lord, you can use us. We want to keep these faith fires burning. Thanksgiving doesn't have to stop this week. We can be thankful people. We can pass our thankfulness down to the next generation. And certainly we can tell our lost family and friends about you and our love for you. When things don't go right in this world, like that simple plumbing issue, we don't need to blow up the whole house. We just need to lay claim to Romans 8:28. Once again, and what a great verse to go back. We know that all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good. To those that love you, we're called with a purpose, with a purpose. Out of the loins of Jacob, the deceiver, the heel snatcher, the struggler, the liar, came Joseph. Dear God, we have no idea what you're going to do with our children's children's children if you tarry. But we do know what you're doing in our lives right now. And we want to be obedient. So please use us, Almighty God. Speak to us now. Softly and tenderly speak. Touch the heart of that 1, 2, 3 people who may not know you personally, Lord and Savior. By faith, they too can be saved today. By faith, too, they can be adopted in your family. By two, they too can be assured of their eternal destination. They know where they would be going after giving their heart and life to you. By faith, based on your Holy Script, the Holy Word of God, we can know these things. By faith, we want to please you. So speak softly and tenderly. Give us the hope, the confidence in our dysfunctional families to press on by faith in a loving, forgiving manner. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your precious and most holy name, under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Amen.